Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love, and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you what to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him here with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but out of your own free will. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Responsory on page 221. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The great crowds accompany Jesus, and he turns and he says to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's one thing Jesus says to you and to me today. Do you want to follow Jesus? What does it mean to truly be his disciple? Not to be a nominal Christian in name only, but a real Christian who talks the talk and walks the walk. Great crowds came to Jesus. They had ulterior motives. They saw him as a bread king, someone who would do things for them, heal them, make things good in this world. But Jesus turns to this great crowd, and he wants them to understand something. If you want to come after me, you have to take up your cross and follow me. And the context here is Jesus is heading to Jerusalem himself. He's going there not just to celebrate the Passover. He's going there to be the Passover lamb, to be sacrificed, to be killed on the altar of the cross. And he wants them to understand, to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, we must count the cost. We must follow him who bore the cross for us. Because to be a Christian means the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh will do battle against us, and we must count the cost. What does it mean to really follow Jesus? And this is the context today of these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we daily count the cost, carry our cross, and follow him. In the book of Hebrews, it indicates that ahead of us have gone all the martyrs whose blood has been spilled for Christ Jesus. People that were mocked and flogged and imprisoned and chained and sawn in two, were destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world hated Christ. The world will hate us. But yet we will choose life, as was said to Moses, as Moses said to the people today, that we want to choose life, loving the Lord our God, obeying his voice. He is our life. He is our length of days. And so today we talk about what does it mean to follow Jesus. Now, if you look at this text today, four different things are said about what it means to follow Jesus. First, to hate our own lives, to carry our cross, to follow him. Secondly, to follow him by counting the cost. Thirdly, following him by even renouncing everything that we have. And fourthly, following him by being salt in this world. And so let's briefly look at all four aspects of being a disciple of Jesus. And the first is, if you want to follow Jesus, you hate even your own life. You carry your cross and follow him. Now, if you look at this text today and look at our own lives, we have to factor in the fact that we are both old Adam and new man at the same time. And that's why we need Jesus. According to our old Adam, our sinful nature, we don't want to hate our life. We love our life. We don't want to carry a cross. We avoid crosses at all cost. We love father, mother, our children, our spouse before Jesus because these are people we deal with every day. And our old Adam does not want to bear a cross or come after Jesus. In fact, the old Adam wants the exact opposite. But my friends, it is Jesus, the Holy Son of God, who gave up his own life and carried the cross for us. Consider how Jesus came from heaven to earth and considered his main goal to serve his heavenly Father. He would not allow his mother or sisters or brothers to deter his work, to take up the cross for us so that we could be his heavenly family and his heavenly children bearing the cross on our behalf. He hated even his own life and humbled himself to death on the cross in our place, bearing our punishment. Because we are new man in Christ and connected to Jesus in our baptism, we now heed the call of Jesus. We heed the call to hate our old Adam, that old life, and drown it every day. To love God before our spouse, our parents, our children. To take up our cross every day, whatever it is, to be his disciple. As new man in Christ, he enables us to follow Jesus, pick up our cross, and follow the crucified one who truly bore the cross for us. So following Jesus is hating even our own lives and carrying the cross for him. Secondly, following Jesus means counting the cost if you're going to be his disciple. Jesus gives the example of if you're going to build a tower, you count the cost ahead of time so you can finish it. Also, our old Adam, our sinful nature, does not want to count the cost. We think we can do things fine. We can lay foundations for our own lives. We're able to finish it. We can become rainy day Christians who value the stuff of this world more than the things of God and are not really all that interested in counting the cost. But Christ did. Jesus counted the cost to build God's kingdom. It cost him his life. He came from heaven to earth, born of the Virgin Mary. He completed the work for our forgiveness of sins and salvation. He is the one who finished the work of the tower, if you will, of the Word of God. He built this kingdom on himself. The foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Christ, the cornerstone. He has completed the work for us. It is finished in him. And so as baptized Christians, as new man in Christ, we do desire to build God's kingdom. We count the cost of faith toward God and love toward our neighbor. How can we serve one another in our vocations and callings? How can we build our foundation upon the Bible, God's word, for us and for our children? And how can we be part of finishing the building of the Holy Christian Church as God uses our time, talent, and treasures in his kingdom? We follow Jesus and carry the cross. We follow Jesus and we count the cost. Thirdly, we follow Jesus and are willing to renounce everything for him. again, our old Adam doesn't want to renounce anything at all. The old Adam is the king of our life. We think that with us, we have plenty, we have all that we need. I've got my own strength, my own energy and power and might. Thank you, I can handle things on my own. We hold on to all we have and find security in the things of this world. That's the old Adam. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus renounced all he had for us. In meekness and lowliness, he fought the war against Satan. He counted the cost. He knew that he could take on in this battle Satan and his minions. And by dying in our place, he gives us peace with God through his blood. Peace has been earned through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are at peace with God. We are at peace with one another, and we have peace in our hearts. It has been established because Jesus renounced what he had and gave it all for us. Now, as new man in Christ, you and I can fight the good fight of faith, marching as to war against the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. This is a battle against the principalities of darkness. And you need to be armed by the Word of God and filled by God's power of the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament for that final victory promised us in heaven, that everlasting peace. We're willing to give up everything, renounce all that we have to serve this Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, Jesus indicates, if you want to follow me, you have to be salt in a saltless world. Jesus calls us to be the salt of the earth. But Christians can lose their flavor, can become unsalty, if you will, when we compromise with the world. We're tempted in our postmodern world to say, well, the Ten Commandments don't apply to us anymore today. That was back then. But now we live a whole different way. If we compromise what the Word of God says, if we become faithless, then we are of no value. We are those who deserve to be thrown away into the heap. But Christ was the true salt on this earth. He was good salt. He salted the world with himself in the preaching of the truth. And one of the pictures in the Bible of Christ's death is he was salted with fire in his death on the cross. He bore the punishment that we deserved in his own body. You think of Jesus being salted, if you will. He's got wounds all over his body, in his hands and feet and in his side. And he's salted with the wrath of God in our place. And God takes away all of our sin and gives us the sweet righteousness of Christ for us. Connected to Jesus in our baptism as new man, we can be the salt of the earth. We can bring the taste of the trying world, of the triune God, into this dark world with Satan's charms. We can bring the true flavor and the taste of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to a world that is lost in darkness. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us to be faithful to him, we may have to even give our own lives for Christ. It is helpful for us who live in a Christian environment in our country where you haven't been killed for your faith to remember those who have been martyred for the faith, who have literally had to die for Christ. You know, many people who are in the Mormon church and have become Christians have paid the price. Perhaps you've heard stories of people who, like this one man who was in the Mormon church and who became a Christian and was baptized, and when the community knew it, the elders of the Mormon church came and moved out his wife, his children, even his furniture to an undisclosed location. He never saw them again. Why? Because he had become a Christian, faithful to Christ. Pastor, I read a sermon this week about a pastor who knew a man who grew up in India, who told him that when his great-grandfather became a Lutheran Christian, his family considered him dead to the family. He was no longer welcome to family gatherings, and people treated him like he was a stranger. And these were the members of his own family. Why? Because he was a Christian and believed in Christ. We know all around the world we're seeing examples of Christians who are being martyred by Muslims, who've taken Christians out of their house and said, if you'll confess that God is Allah and Muhammad is prophet, we will spare you. But if you confess Christ, we're going to kill you and your wife and all of your children. And we know, because of the voice of the martyrs, there are many Christian people who've said, no, I believe in Christ Jesus is God and Lord, and they've given their lives because they would not give up their faith. There was an Easter special a number of years ago about when the Soviet Union broke up, and there's a Lutheran church in Moscow that at one time was turned into a swimming pool inside the sanctuary where the pews were. And so when Christians could worship again, here they worshiped in a sanctuary like this, and in the middle of the room was a great big empty swimming pool showing the price that they had paid with their sanctuary being taken over by communists. Now that they were allowed to worship, every time they looked at that pool, this was the cost that they had paid for being faithful to Christ. My parents back in Lakewood, Ohio, one time hosted a man from Jews for Jesus in their house who came through Cleveland. And he told the story about when he became a Christian and he was from New York City, his Jewish parents disowned him and actually has a gravestone with his name on it in a cemetery in New York City. And if people ask them about their son, they say, we have no son. He is dead. Why? Because he became a Christian and he believed in Christ. You see, my friends, everyone in this room will at one point have to bear a cross for Christ. And let's make one thing perfectly clear. The ordinary suffering of this life is not our cross. I have arthritis in my knee. That's not my cross. You might have had a car accident. That's not your cross. You may have cancer or sickness or difficulties. This is the common lot of all mankind. Whether you be Christian or not Christian, you might get cancer, you might have a car accident. This is part of a broken world. A cross is what happens to you because you are faithful to Christ and you are hated and persecuted because you've spoken the truth of Jesus Christ. That is your cross. And you know, you don't have to go out and try to find one. I guarantee you, if you are faithful to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross will follow you. But you know, it is our privilege to carry a cross. We gladly pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Whether it's you as a young person at school speaking up for Jesus and people mock you in the locker room, whether you're on the college campus and your professor professes to be an atheist who's going to try to destroy your faith and you speak up for your faith in Christ, or whether you're working on the job site where everyone is taking God's name in vain and you refuse to and you're called a goody two-shoes or whatever, when you're faithful to Jesus, you will have a cross. But the joy of being a Christian is we are happy to carry a cross. It is our privilege to count the cost for Christ. Look at the suffering that he bore for us. Look at how the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to carry a cross for him. And guess what? We are carrying the cross to heaven. We're on the road to heaven, dragging our crosses behind us in a long line behind Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, you have all kinds of opportunities here to serve our Lord Jesus. In our one family, in our church, in school, in campus ministry, you can serve. In your daily life as a Christian, by word and prayer and devotion every day. As a disciple of Jesus, as a spouse, as a parent, in your occupation, in your role in this congregation, and as a citizen of the United States of America, you can gladly follow Jesus, count the cost, and follow him. May we this day and every day consider it a privilege as Christians to carry our cross behind the crucified one and risen from the dead until we see him in glory on that last day. To the glory of his name. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.